One thing that really ticked me off, I mean, there are a lot of things that ticked me off, as probably those of you who've listened over the years have come to understand. One thing really just, it frosted me in one sense and really terrified me in another. When Clinton made his address before Congress and said we face the gravest financial crisis in 50 years, he was telling the truth. He was, if anything, understating the case. But Trent Lott said, well, this is predictable. It's the wag the dog scenario. Clinton's just trying to take attention off of his own political problems. This from the Senate Majority Leader. Ye God, what a lamely terrifying response, because if we ever needed a valid response, it's now. And that is not playing politics, basically. That's adding two and two and coming up with four. And that's scary, though, that the Republicans are so rabid and so completely divorced from international political and fiscal reality that Trent Lott could get up there and make a statement like that. Oh, it's just Clinton playing politics. Again, remember that one 10 years from now, and when your children or grandchildren ask you why they're living in a rusted-out Chevy Sportman, just remember, well, back when people still had houses to live in, and we still had money, and we weren't bartering, you know, an old can of beans, you know, for a piece of lard, you know, and so that we could get alive, when we weren't rubbing sticks together to try and generate heat so we could stay warm in the winter, back in the old days when we still had food and supermarkets and electricity and places to live, we were facing a grave financial crisis, but you talk about fiddling while Rome burned. The Republicans are fiddling while the world's economy burns, and I'm afraid we are all going to experience that. But bear in mind again some of the lessons of history. Remember the last time we were told, the Islamic fundamentalists are coming, the Islamic fundamentalists are coming. Well, that was back during the hostage crisis in 1979, 80, and 81, and it turned out that the Reagan and Bush administration, because I really was the Bush administration, five of them now, two of Reagan's, one of his, and two of Clinton's, that it turns out they were in bed with the very Islamic fundamentalists we were told we had to watch out for. Bear in mind that bin Laden, his genesis as a political animal goes back to the Afghan Mujahideen effort. Ramzi Youssef, also connected to Sheikh Rahman and the World Trade Center bombing, which took place the same weekend as the Branch Davidian siege, run by Bush Justice Department holdovers who were involved in the Iraqgate affair. Bear in mind that Ramzi Youssef, as Newsday reported, was head of a bin Laden-generated plot to kill Bill Clinton when he went to the Philippines. I've also noted, by the way, we're going to be visiting again at some point in the not-too-distant future with Fatah Mansour, a member of the Iranian resistance, who has linked the genesis of the Islamic fundamentalist movement in Iran with the West. It was the anti-communist successor to the Shah. He's pointed something out, and he's familiar with Islamic law. He checked out the Taliban's website. But I guess for all of their anachronistic inclinations, the Taliban does have a website. But they have called on their website for Bill Clinton to be stoned to death. Now, I guess to do that, he'd have to inhale. But the Taliban, he pointed out that in Islamic law, you know, with regard to infidelity, I mean, the ultimate male chauvinist culture is Islamic culture. And I've forgotten what the exact dictates are, but basically a man can have four wives or more with no sweat in Islamic culture. But what I didn't know was how loose a definition of wife they have. I mean, basically, if you've been boinking the same woman and you've kept her under the same roof for something like, I think it's 4 months or something, really, I mean, it's very liberal. I mean, if you happen to be an Islamic fundamentalist or a conservative and liberal Muslim, it's very hard for a man to be unfaithful to a woman. I mean, it's the ultimate male chauvinist culture. It's a horror show for women. But basically, men can get away with just about anything in terms of sexual dalliance. And it is almost impossible for a strictly religious Muslim male to commit infidelity because the definition is so loose. Amazingly, you know, if you've been boinking a woman for a while and you've been living under the same roof or even supporting her, then she's classified as a wife. And so you're not being faithful to your other wives, plural. I mean, it's just almost impossible. What he pointed out is what I've been trying to stress is that there's more to the Taliban than meets the eye, that they have connections to Western oil companies. Their genesis goes back to the Western intelligence support of Afghan Mujahideen. And I'm going to have Farah spell out the actual details. But to someone familiar with Islamic culture and law, he said that is just absurd for the Taliban to call for Clinton to be stoned to death for basically getting a BJ from Monica Lewinsky. That is absolutely absurd. And I bear in mind, too, we have Kenneth Starr possibly hooked up with Adnan Khashoggi. We know that the Saudis were channeling money into the United States to help finance congressional Republican congressional campaigns against Democrats who were opposing the Contra effort, and Saudi Arabian money was going to the Iran-Contra affair. I would not entirely dismiss the possibility that with Kenneth Starr and the American Taliban, i.e. the Republican Party, on one side, and with the, quote, Islamic fundamentalists on the other side, we're really looking at a pincers movement, not unlike the one that removed Jimmy Carter in 1980. Because remember, we were told, the Islamic fundamentalists are coming, the Islamic fundamentalists come, we're coming. And turned out they were in bed with the Republican Party. I think that is altogether possible right now. And it's something I think we need to very carefully consider. Other than that, about the last thing that I would say is that one of the scenarios I've been advancing with regard to what's going on today is an obscure Nazi tract called Serpent's Walk. It's put out by the same Nazi publisher that puts out the Turner Diaries, and it's about the SS going underground at the end of World War II, which they did, putting together a huge capital organization, which they did, the Bormann organization that I've alluded to. They then infiltrate the United States Army. They buy into the American opinion-forming media, and after a biological warfare attack with genetically engineered viruses of ostensibly Russian origin, which kills the president and vice president of the United States, the Speaker of the House, who is an underground ally of the Nazis, then invites the Nazi Front Organization into a governing coalition after he's declared martial law. Now, bear in mind, Newt Gingrich and his Nazi inclinations, his Wehrmacht strategy. Professor Stauffer, a consultant whom I interviewed a number of years ago, said that one of the major strategies of the underground Reich was that the Germans were actively recruiting from among U.S. officers and their families stationed in Germany throughout the entire course of the Cold War, and were offering them all kinds of perks, ranging from generous financial inducements, women often doubling as agents for the Stasi, the East German Intelligence Service, but they have been recruiting a fifth column from within our military for many, many years, according to Professor Stauffer. So there is a considerable portion of the American officer corps who are loyal to Nazi Germany, not to the United States. Considering what we may be seeing, now Clinton is in serious political trouble. It remains to be seen whether he survives it. But they're also talking about nailing Gore for some of the campaign finance things. If, and I'm saying if, Clinton and Gore were to be removed, Newt Gingrich becomes president of the United States, which is a sobering thought in and of itself, in which case we may not be looking at Serpent's Walk, but Serpent's Wank, so to speak, that being a slang term for masturbation. So that, in a nutshell, albeit a coconut shell or perhaps a 155-millimeter shell, is my view of the destabilization of the Clinton administration, literally coup d'etat by blowjob and a domestic covert operation with evidentiary tributaries running back to Iran-Contra, Judge Sentel, who overturns Ali's conviction, refused to appoint a special prosecutor to look into the leaking of Clinton's passport file. You've got people like the Monica Lewinsky's press spokesperson, who was a deputy press spokesman for the Bush White House. Ken Starr was Bush's solicitor general. We have Linda Tripp, she of the counterterrorist clerical expertise, the last person to see Vince Foster alive. Foster buys the farm the same week Bush is subpoenaed to testify at BNL, and all of the many connections that I have been stringing together this evening. I apologize for taking that long period of time to give sort of Dave Emery's views on life, love, and the nature of existence, but I figure unless I'm wrong about all this stuff, and I don't think I am, we are facing a terrible, terrible thing, it's not going to be fun, but I think that it's important for people not to lose faith. Because as bad as things get, and they're going to get bad, and even if you face death yourself, bear in mind that what created you is a whole lot bigger than Ken Starr or Adolf Hitler or General Motors or anything else. And long after all of those things have passed from this earth, whatever created you, and I don't believe in a God like it's an entity to sit there and go, dear God, so how you doing, fella? You want to play a round of four, five card stud? What's going on? That's not my conception. Maybe the force in Star Wars or something like that. Again, a combination of what I know about physics and Buddhism has kind of informed me. But I'll guarantee you, there's more than just molecules bumping into one another. And however bad things get, you're not going to want to allow your spirit to succumb to the darkness. It's going to be a very tempting thing to do. You're going to see a lot of the people around you do that same thing. But it's important because the physical universe is conservative in nature. And for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. For all of the harm that you has done to you, good will come to you, not necessarily in this lifetime or in these four dimensions, but in some other aspect of space-time that we do not experience with our senses, but that is absolutely real. And by the same token, the good that you do will come back to you. If you do succumb to the darkness, then the darkness will come back to you too, simply by way of achieving balance in the physical universe. Not because there's some cosmic schoolmaster who's going to rap you on the knuckles with a ruler made of lightning bolts. You know, you had premarital sex. Boom! You know, I said don't masturbate. And you played with your weenie. Ha ha! Therefore, boom! You know, you get punished. So that's, I think, one of the reasons why people become atheists, because most of our conceptions of God are so senile. You know, it's like the Cotton Mather concept of, you know, some sort of old fool sitting on a golden throne with a long beard hurling lightning bolts at fornicators. And it just, I don't think that's us creating God in our image. And I don't think that's valid at all. But simply what we know about physics, what we know about the universe, there's a whole lot more to it than just molecules. And I think that as horrible as things get, and they're going to get nasty, bear in mind that ultimately, for all of the evil you see, there will, at some point, in some realm of space-time, be an equal and opposite reaction. And I think it's very important for each of us as human, as energy systems, as biosystems imbued with energy, to understand that the energy within us, that life, and that's what life is, it's energy. You know, and again, this is not some new agey thing. You know, wow, dude, it's energy. You know, where's my crystal? Let me stare into a crystal. That energy is immortal, you know, in the most literal sense of the word. That's what life is. It's energy. And it is not created, and it is not destroyed, entropy notwithstanding. It changes form. And I think that's a very comforting notion. Because basically, something we all are bound to experience. I think if you're in this room, you're probably going to experience it a hell of a lot sooner than you'd figure when you fear it. And I think it's very important to persevere in the path of righteousness. I mean, it's not like a corny thing for you to be hearing from old, you know, hard-nosed, cynical, macho Dave, but I think it's very, very important. And ultimately, I think that things will work out for the better, but it's just going to take a hell of a long time, and we're not likely to see it in the immediate future. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, we have to go to school.